Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on September 23rd, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone usually because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com. Jackie is away today, this week, and we're having a great time with some guest hosts. And today, I'm so lucky to have a fantastic guest host. Our guest host this morning is Tanya McKenzie, publisher of Real Estate Magazine. Born and raised in San Jose, California, now considered Silicon Valley, Tanya moved to Los Angeles to attend CSU Northridge, Cal State University Northridge. She had the privilege of attending Northridge during the rebuilding of the city and campus after the earthquake. Being the busybody that she is and an employee of the ASREC program of the university, she became very active in the referendum process to rebuild the campus and directing the funds of the FEMA money. After leaving Northridge in 1999, Tanya spent time at One Color Communication in the marketing and design department and went on to spend over 15 years in doing sales and marketing in the sports and fitness industry, helping to open new facilities throughout the Bay Area. This included serving as a director of the Chamber of Commerce in Oakley, California. Tanya and her family moved, relocated to Redondo Beach in 2013 for her husband's career in technology located in Marina del Rey. They went from the Silicon Valley to the Silicon Beach. Since touching down in this amazing beach city, Tanya went from working for Southland Publishing to publishing her own magazine, highlighting and celebrating some of our busiest professionals, Real Estate Agent Magazine. Tanya is promoted or is also a proud member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, graduate chapter, enthusiastic member of the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce, and happily married with four children. Tanya, welcome to the program, and thanks for sitting in for Jackie while she's on vacation.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm so happy to be here. Funny thing, we were talking about the Northridge earthquake with all those tremors we had earlier this week. I thought we were going to be back at it again. That
right.
was a little scary, huh, in the South Bay?
Where were you when the earthquake happened?
I was actually in the Bay Area, and one of my best friends was at Northridge, convincing me to come to Northridge. And by the time I had moved and got accepted, started school, his car was underneath one of the parking lots at the university. So that was the beginning of my CSUN career, is helping this guy get his car out of the rubble.
Wow. Yeah,
so that's pretty intense.
Yeah. That's something that, you know, when people think of earthquake retrofitting and earthquake sort of recovery, they think, okay, well, you know, that was a long time ago, Tanya. That's all done. It's not done yet.
No, it's not. It's still rebuilding. And I was actually in the Bay Area when our big earthquake happened there. So I think I've just been privy in watching how a community can rebuild bigger and better. And it's a constant process, but, you know, with the right people in the right places, it turns out quite amazing.
Well, tell us a little bit about Real Estate Magazine.
Real Estate Agent Magazine is my opportunity to actually celebrate the real estate professionals and all that they do and contribute. You know, it's not always just about selling a house or helping one person. It really touches and affects lives. So we celebrate the great things that they're doing in their community. We celebrate the amazing things that they do with each other as teammates, in their profession, the new things that they're bringing to the communities in which they work in. It just gives me an opportunity in every aspect to celebrate their hard work, their training, their diligence, and, you know, what they bring to the city, the town, and the state that they reside in.
It sounds like it's a magazine in the vein of a Sports Illustrated, celebrating sports professionals, in this case, real estate professionals.
Pretty much. It also gives them the opportunity to market themselves in a time where it's, you know, it's very commoditized. There's many of them out there, but those that really want to market and promote themselves and what they're doing and stand above the crowd, we tell their story because many of them got there, you know, not by way of, you can't inherit being a good real estate agent, right? Everyone has a story, how they got to where they are, what made them who they are. Many people, it was in their family, right? So they saw their dad do it. They saw their mom do it. And then they got their own hunger for it. But many of them have just a passion for it. They love putting people in great places that enrich their lives. So their stories and how they got to where they are and what makes them who they are is an opportunity for them to connect to individuals that will partner with them, will use them in their next real estate transaction, will refer them to someone that needs a particular type of real estate agent. There's so many. They specialize in a million different things. So this is an opportunity for them to really shine, show who they are, show their personality, and be able to promote themselves as a real estate professional.
Well, we are so blessed today because we have one of the South Bay's most celebrated real estate professionals, and she continues to perform at such a high level. It's almost incredulous because you would expect this mantle to pass from person to person to person over time, but this person continues to become lauded by not only her peers, but by the general public. Tanya, who's our guest today? Oh, I think maybe Tanya dropped out. Hold on. Tanya, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hello? Yes, okay.
Hi.
Tell us, Tanya.
Well, we have a returning guest this morning, Michelle Brown, a South Bay resident and real estate professional who was recently honored once again by her real estate peers. Michelle was awarded the prestigious Realtor of the Year by the South Bay Association of Realtors. This organization, with more than 4,000 members, honored Michelle as a respected member of the community, where she has made a mark on the international, Los Angeles, and South Bay landscape with an outstanding record of exemplary character and achievement. Michelle is an experienced keynote and motivational speaker, utilizing her experience of forming and maintaining the longevity of teams. Her sold-out team-building sessions for both companies and local associations are renowned. She brings a wealth of knowledge of the expertise needed to produce both outstanding results and a happy work team environment. Having worked nationally and internationally, she is well qualified to address the unique issues
of growing and sustaining your business while providing a thriving and dedicated culture. Michelle is the executive director for the Real Estate Professionals team at Keller Williams South Bay. Her team believes in delivering a very high quality of customer service, constant education, keeping abreast of market trends, and always having a finger on the pulse of the real estate industry. Her team has been honored as top producers with gold and platinum medals for 5 years running at Keller Williams South Bay. Michelle is a member of the California Association of Realtors, the National Association of Realtors, and the California Apartment Association. She has served for years on the Keller Williams International Leadership Council and is the recipient of numerous industry awards, including the Keller Williams Culture Icon Award. She specializes in selling luxury properties with as little disruption as possible to the homeowner's daily routine with an emphasis on client confidentiality. Michelle's luxury and commercial real estate teams are located in Los Angeles, Dallas, Nashville, and most recently, Orange County. She also has an office located in Riviera Village. Beautiful. Welcome back to the program, Michelle. We are so glad you will be joining us this morning.
Hey, Tanya. Joe, good morning. Thank you for having me back.
Good morning. Good morning. It is, without a doubt, one of the most impressive resumes for a realtor that I think most people have heard in some time if they follow the careers of their friends and neighbors who are realtors. They realize what a commitment you've made to this industry. When did you start as a realtor? When did you start in the real estate business?
Do I have to answer that?
Okay.
No.
I know you were 29 when you did it.
I'm happy to answer the question. I'm really proud of my career. And it's a twofold answer to your question, Joe. This is my 40th year in the business. Mm. The first 20 were in Texas, and I worked for a commercial firm. And the second 20 have been here in the paradise of the South Bay. But I've been a realtor for 12 years. A lot of our clients don't know the difference in a licensed real estate agent and then someone that also has the realtor designation, two different things. And so I grew up in a commercial firm, a multifamily firm that was a national firm. I worked Texas and Arizona and California with that organization, with that company. And a lot of agents there do not have a realtor designation, although they are licensed real estate agents, work for very reputable brokers in their states, but they don't have the realtor designation for various and different reasons. So when I came to Keller Williams and started practicing residential as well as commercial, then I joined the association here in the South Bay and achieved the realtor designation.
Now what?
So 40 years to answer your question.
Okay. A short time.
It is a short time. I have children older than that.
What is the difference between the realtor designation, technically, and being a real estate agent?
A licensed real estate agent, we have many different practices. Some practice law, and some practice commercial real estate, and some practice residential real estate. With the realtor designation, we have a commitment to our code of ethics and to a standard of practice that guides us in every day to have the best practices, the highest standards of practice.
That's
not that those that don't have the realtor designation don't perform that way. It's just an avenue for better education and higher performance and a higher standard of practice.
I see.
And gives us access to the multiple listing service so that we can study our markets and be prepared to know how to best service our clients when they're buying or selling in a certain neighborhood.
I see. We're going to have to, I think, Tanya, assume some, real estate knowledge in the audience. We want them to understand that this is, a great opportunity with Michelle. So I've got a lot of technical questions, like I know the multiple listing service by you know, just having purchased a home, having sold a home. I know the MLS through that association. But tell me, are there changes coming? I mean, there's changes in technology all the time. What are some of the things that are changing with the multiple listing service?
Well, in California, we're fortunate that our multiple listing service is multi-regions. Mm. So we can service, my team can service clients all over California. But the search, the depth of the search engines that give us information that we need to have as far as the history of a property, if our clients are selling a property or we have an interested, you know, a buyer that's interested in a property, we can search the history of that property. Mm-hmm. And we can, the perfect example is one of the gentlemen that works with me has a buyer that's writing an offer on a home, and it shows up in a multiple listing service as a standard sale because that's what the agent put in. Mm-hmm. But the agent, the listing agent, implied to my team member that the owners were behind on their mortgage payments. Mm-hmm. And it's not showing that in the multiple listing service, but through the multiple listing service, we as agents have access to the history of the property, and we can click through to the tax records and to the title information on the property and find out that the owner of the property is, in fact, in default. Mm. So what that means, and a consumer who's not using a realtor wouldn't have that information, and they would write an offer on the property, and they would go into escrow, and they would be excited to have their dream home, and it could foreclose before they close escrow.
Mm.
And then they can't close. So it's the depth of the information that we have through all of the different streams of information that our multiple listing service bring to us so that we can really be the experts on what's going on with a particular property, both
right.
commercial and residential. It's all
right.
there.
So even a real estate agent who was not a realtor could go to their broker and get access to the MLS and get that information. It's just that they can't do it by and of themselves.
If their broker is a member, if their broker is a realtor and a member of an association of realtors, or is a member of the MLS, there's
right.
two different streams there. But yes, if they need the information, it's available to them as a
right.
real estate professional.
Right,
yes.
right. So now, Tanya mentioned in your intro about the fabulous accolade, Realtor of the Year. From the South Bay Association of it's the South Bay Realtor Association?
South Bay Association of Realtors.
South Bay Association of Realtors. Fantastic, amazing, but the accolades just keep coming, don't they?
We're so honored. I'm really overwhelmed by the recognition. I'm very proud of everyone on our team and the work that we do. We do have a very high standard of practice, and we are very much in open communication with our clients who love the way that we practice. But the beauty of the newest award that I received was as from the Daily Breeze South Bay Favorite agent. When Realtor of the Year is an honor because it's your peers, we have that as a testimonial from agents that we work with. I think it's the greatest recognition that one can achieve when you're working with other professionals is that they recognize me as delivering that high level of service and delivering the integrity that is expected of us from our code of ethics.
Right.
So when you are Realtor of the Year, you are nominated by your peers, and then the nominees are elected by the board of directors for the Association of Realtors. And that's a real honor to be recognized like that by your peers who work with you on a day-to-day basis on the other side of a transaction. It's like, who's your dentist, or, you know, who does your hairdresser go to get their hair done? It's that kind of recognition that when another agent takes a maternity leave or goes on a 3-month vacation, they call us to work their book of business for them while they're away because they trust that we'll deliver that at the highest level for their clients.
Right.
The Daily Breeze Award as South Bay Favorite Agent comes from our clients and our neighbors and those in the community who know us. And so that's another huge honor to be recognized from our neighbors and our community.
Right. Fantastic. Really amazing. And so Now, Michelle, let's pivot to some of the questions that I know people out there have. We're gonna leave that question as a tantalizing question. How's the market doing? We're gonna leave that till later. But I want to talk about some of the new things that are happening in the market. Let's say you have a home and you also have a rental property. You're not looking to sell the rental property, but one of the things that's in the news lately is the idea of short-term rentals, and of course I'm thinking about Airbnb. Have you dealt with anyone who's decided, okay, I've got a rental property, but I don't want to do the traditional long-term rental, a year, 2 years, 3 years. I want to do short-term rentals. Is that a factor in the market these days, or is it just media hype?
You know, it's not a factor as far as investing in properties and buying income properties. It is a factor in what your operating strategy is for those. I also have a property management company. I've been in that business for 40 years. That's how I started in commercial real estate. And I understand the local cities and the next door neighbors to those properties that are the weekly or three-night rentals, not wanting that kind of transient traffic in their neighborhoods.
Right.
I totally am aware of that. But and long-term rentals, 3-4 years, don't usually happen here. Those are in other markets on the East Coast.
Mm.
What we traditionally have here in a rental property is a lease or a rental agreement that's for 6 months to a year. Mm. When you get closer to the beach, you do have, those owners of investment property that like to take advantage of vacation rentals and the summertime rent rates, and they can go up a little bit. The interesting thing to me is that most of our local cities have an ordinance on the books that says that if you do that, if you own that kind of property, then you are in the hotel business.
Mm-hmm.
And they have what's called a transient tax or a bed tax, where you have to pay additional taxes. That's the hotels are cash cows for cities on the bed taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an individual owner and you do a rental that's less than 30 days, that is considered vacation rental or hotel. But the cities don't know how to enforce that, and some don't even know that they're on their books. And so they've created this the new law. They don't. So they created a new law or a new ordinance or a moratorium that says they're not allowing any rentals that are less than 30 days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I see clearly both sides on that.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was something that you are tracking in your business. Obviously, since you have a business that does property management, you must have encountered property owners who want to do these things, because I've heard that you can, if you're going to make X in a traditional 6 month or 1 year rental, you can double that by doing short-term rentals. That's compelling.
It is compelling, and again, it all depends on location.
Right.
Right? But you also have a responsibility. I mean, you have, and realtors uphold personal property rights, and that's what we're here to, and that's the reason I do track it, not just for my business, but because I am on the board of directors for the California Association of Realtors and our South Bay Association of Realtors. We have to track what the laws and the ordinances are, too, so that we can go and speak with our legislators and elected officials about what's best for the community and what we oppose in a law that or an ordinance that they're writing. But it's so we do track it, just so I can advise my clients on what they're buying. I mean, if you buy a rental property or an income property that is a mile from the beach, then it doesn't really matter, because you're not that market. You're not the vacation rental market.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you're in the mountains and you're, a mile from the ski slope, you're not the vacation rental market.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing the niches there, and then knowing what the city ordinances are, and being able to advise our clients on how to be good neighbors, but also let them know that they have personal property rights.
Right. Absolutely, right.
Michelle, while we're on legislation, can you talk a little bit about, as satirical as this election season has become, is there any local legislation or laws that we should be looking at in regards to real estate, how it might affect us moving forward, anybody that's looking to buy or sell on a local level or California level? Is there anything coming up that we should be aware of or that would affect our real estate?
Rent control. Rent control is rising its head again, and there are elected officials who are writing bills that include, you know, some language that is implying, especially with Long Beach, implying that we need to have stronger or new rent control laws in effect. And rent control is not good for anyone. It's not good for the renter. It is not good for the property owner. It's not good for the maintenance of the building. And I can go on for another 2 hours about that. But that's the biggest thing that is on our watch. And when we go to Sacramento and meet with elected officials, you know, we show them how it's counterproductive to a community. But it is an issue, and there are a lot of bills that will be coming up in the next year regarding rent control.
Hmm. Is that, do you see that effort for rent control as a permanent change in the way that you know, the relationship between the city, state, and the property owners that want to do rentals, or is it a transient relationship? And I'm sorry, what I'm thinking I'm getting at is it something that, I mean, Santa Monica for the longest time has had some severe rent controls in place, and it's allowed a lot of people to stay there in their homes that could not afford to live there if rent control was not in place, and that's caused a very strong bifurcation of the market in Santa Monica, where there's lots of renters that are doing what they do as city residents, and there's lots of new people that are buying homes for, you know, fantastic sums that are doing what they're doing, and those two resident populations are quite different.
You're right about that, Joe. From my perspective, the biggest issue comes in being able to property manage and understanding what your rights are and how to manage within the rent stabilization ordinances, because you're allowed to take a 3% increase. That does not always match the increase in your property taxes or in your maintenance, but you're allowed to take a 3% rent increase annually.
Right.
And a lot of owners don't do that, and you can't make it up. And 3 years ago, oh, I forgot to take my rent increase, and now I'm going to take 9%. You have to take 3% annually, and you use it or you lose it. You also have an opportunity when a income unit becomes vacant to raise it to market value. And there are a lot of property owners that don't want to pay for professional property management, and there are some property managers who don't want to pay that close attention to what's going on with the income units to be able to make that happen. So when a unit becomes vacant and it's been leasing for $1,000 a month, they may decide to rent it for $1,200 when the actual market value is $1,800 to $2,000. They don't do their research. They don't know that to bring it to full market value. They're afraid of the rent stabilization ordinance, and they don't know how to manage to it. So that's a huge problem, and they use that as an excuse sometimes to not be providing the best level of maintenance and updates and repairs to a property.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Wow. Tanya, when you think about the next, as you asked about regulation, when you think about the next level of sort of issues in real estate, what are some of the things that your other real estate professionals are thinking about coming forward in the future?
For the most part, it's getting these new homeowners in, or, you know, the individuals that are really looking to break into the real estate industry. Getting them into a situation that would benefit them and then allow them to continue to grow their wealth. That and just some of the differences in the South Bay in particular. There's many multiple units on a lot, things of that nature, and being able to educate them on that. For the most part, it's really just getting those new homeowners and being able to financially educate them on the best decisions for them, That would actually come to a question I wanted to ask Michelle to kind of verbalize for me. I'm a little selfish, and I've loved living in the South Bay. And it is quite a unique area in that there's multiples on a unit, on a property, and things of that nature. I'm trying to get my friends to come here. So I'm from the Bay Area, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with what's going on out there in regards to property, and the cost has risen a lot. Tell me how I can convince my friends and individuals to move to the South Bay. What makes this area a lot more unique, and how can they make it affordable to them moving from another area?
Well, the South Bay is unique in that we're a cluster of small towns in a big city, and that's very different than being, you know, from the Bay Area. It's about lifestyle, and one's not better than the other. It's just a matter of what your preference is. So we have, in each of our cities, has very unique political systems, and we have a very unique lifestyle, and it's more down home than most people would think. If they think of us as being Los Angeles, South Bay is more of a little paradise that's cut off to the coast that's very, very, very special. The difference in the value is in the eye of the buyer, right? And what they're looking for as far as lifestyle or school systems or commutes to their jobs or if they're working from home. Every buyer has a different niche. I work with agents who tell me that when a buyer comes to town, they'll figure out what the buyer wants, and they will show them five properties that match that and then have them choose one. We don't operate that way. I mean, the majority of our clients are actually sellers. They're selling their homes, but the buyers that we do work with, if they need to see 20 or 30 properties before they find the one that they love, then that's our job. I mean, we glean their criteria, we look for what they're looking for, what their price point is, we educate them on where they're going to find that home, and we take them there and show them things that are available there. Some people have a very short time frame, they're being transferred, they need to move immediately, and they will have to select one of the first five that we show them based on the criteria that we tell them. But we run a checklist, we keep written communication, and we have a goals list, and we analyze that with them every day. So if what we're showing you isn't working, what are you willing to give up? Or what do you want to add that we can change the criteria a little bit? So to exchange the value, Tanya, I don't think that you can. Mm-hmm. I think that you can just speak to the lifestyle.
I'm gonna take a station break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking with Michelle Brown, Realtor of the Year, and just an all-around real estate maven. I don't know. There's got to be some other accolade that I can come up with. I mean, Michelle, this is getting to be, you know, well, what do we do this year for Michelle? I don't know. Your career is outstanding, exemplary, and we're so glad to have you. We're gonna Tanya and I are gonna try to tax your skills and tax your expertise and really give some value. In the meantime, while we're doing that, ladies and gentlemen, you might have some questions or concerns. If you do, please join us. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Please give us a call. We'd love to have your comment or question. And with that, we had a little technical difficulty. Tanya, I'm going to be calling you from the switchboard. I want you to go ahead and pick that up, and then we will switch to that line, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. So.
Hey.
Okay. You're back.
You know, I wanted to ask Michelle a personal kind of personal question. You know, I've had the opportunity to call her on a fly, text with some problems that a friend of mine is having in real estate. She's just well known for having all the answers. from other realtors and individuals in the community. But I do want to ask, how are you able to, and this is from a professional standpoint, deal with your regular to-do list and all of the 911, please help me, Michelle calls that come in on a regular basis? I know many of you in real estate build your business on referrals, but at some point I'm thinking, God, you must be incredibly busy. How do you get it all done and still able to grow and scale your business the way that you've been able to do?
Two things. Tenacity, for one thing. I'm the oldest of six children. I have six children through a couple of marriages. And I have six grandchildren. So, you know, managing a family of that size is great fun, but it takes a little bit of skill and organization, and that takes people. And it's all about the people that you surround yourself with and what I know that I can delegate and who I can delegate it to know that we're going to deliver, you know, the highest standard of practice that we can and still get the job done. But the 911 calls is actually, Tanya, why we're here. Because those are the do-it-yourselfers. Those are the people that are in a jam or that really need some information. And they may have another agent that they're already working with, but sometimes they're a little intimidated to ask the question. We are a very open book, and I want to share what we know. And I don't always have the answer, but I always know where to find the answer. Because I want any kind of a real estate transaction to be fun for someone and to be rewarding for them and to fulfill their dreams. Whether they're renting or buying an income property, they have a dream. And I want to make that dream come true without the stress. There's no need for the stress. It's a matter of knowledge and knowing where the next answer is. There are always going to be hiccups. There are always going to be problems, just like buying a car or going out to dinner to a new restaurant that hasn't worked out the kinks yet. And when you talk to someone with 40 years of experience, if I don't have an experience in a certain area, I know who does and where to find it. And we can help clients with everything they need to do, from a roofer to a 1031 exchange accommodator. I said this, I think, the last time that I was on the show, Joe, that everyone needs to have a realtor in their pocket. You have your CPA, you have your attorney, you have your doctor, you have your go-to people that you may not have an appointment to see them, you may not be paying them at that moment, but you have a question about something and they're there to answer. And that's what your realtor should do for you too. Mm-hmm. That's for 50 or 60% of what we do most of the time, we're not directly compensated for. But we're helping a client and we're staying in the relationship with them and we're helping them achieve their dreams. And I love that.
I think that may be where the Daily Breeze South Bay favorite realtor comes from. You know, people when they are in a jam and they call Michelle Brown or one of her people and they get an answer or they get a solution, I'm sure that makes their day.
I'm sure that it does. I hope that it does. That's our goal. Right, and it develops relationships in the community. People will work with people that they know and like and trust.
Right.
And they need to be comfortable knowing they can just pick up the phone and call. I'll tell you that there's a very prominent, well-known realtor in the South Bay who is a friend of mine who happened to be on vacation in Europe, and a client of that realtor's had their house listed with that realtor, was in fact their sister-in-law. But she saw some information on how we manage sales with sellers who are in default, and that's coming back. We're going to start seeing some more notices of default foreclosure listings again. And she called me because she couldn't get an answer from her brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I answered her questions, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't go beyond that because she has a relationship with her brother-in-law and he had the house listed for sale.
Mm-hmm.
But I did answer her questions and give her some peace of mind that and she referred me some business from that. So it all works out. You know, it's all just part of being part of the community and being there to provide the expertise on what you do.
Tanya mentioned that there are a lot of people who enter the real estate business, but they also exit rather quickly. They don't stick. They don't stay. The lifestyle is difficult, and they don't prepare themselves. They don't have the resources to actually act as real estate agents, over a small period of time without income. They haven't prepared that. There's a good deal of churn. But what would you say that percentage is, the Pareto rule of real estate? Is it 80-20? Is it 70-30?
Yes, 80-20. 20% of the agents that come into our association will still be here
in
a year or two, but 80% fall out. And that's unfortunate because it doesn't mean that they would not be good realtors and be able to build their business. They just don't have the right training.
Yeah.
They don't have the right coach. They don't have the right foundation. When you study to get a real estate license, that teaches you almost everything that you need to know about what's on the books as far as laws and what you can and can't do. They don't teach you how to manage a real estate business,
right.
And they don't. And we're not salesmen, right? We have it's called a sales license, or you had a broker's license. We don't sell real estate.
Mm-hmm.
We provide an enormous amount of services to our clients to help them get their real estate sold or to help them buy their dream home. But we're here to educate and offer our expertise and our market knowledge and be able to market properties to their highest value.
Mm-hmm.
And that they don't teach you when you get your real estate license. One of the ladies that works with me on my team had her license for 2 years, and she would come to the office every day and get a cup of coffee and walk around and watch everyone working, and she didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally came to me and she said, "I'm going to have to go get a job, or I don't know what I'm doing. Everybody here is busy working.
Right.
I don't know where to go or what to do." And so she joined our team because we have the system and we have clients that we need help with. And then she really learned how to build relationships and work her business. So I'm proud of that.
One of the things we talked about last time also was Gary Keller and his book, The One Thing. Tell us a little bit about that book and about the impact that Gary Keller has on the industry in general, but in just life in general.
Well, he's amazing, and he's all about balance, right? He's
mm-hmm.
about if you say yes to one thing, you say no to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's what we do. And some of us become workaholics, and some of us look for a life of balance. So the one thing is really about, first of all, understanding what your one thing is. You know, is your one thing to be a millionaire, or is your one thing to be successful in your community, or is your one thing your family, and how do you provide for that? What is your real one thing? What is your passion? And that if you will work towards that, then everything else falls in place.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's a great book. It's a great guide to really figuring that out. And you know, I've recently remarried 9 years ago, but for 25 years was a single parent, trying to figure all of that out. And my one thing was just the day to day. My one thing was figuring out how to get the soccer shoes and how to get the back to school supplies and how to pay the rent. And that's not one thing. and it took a long time. I was not working with Gary Keller at that time, and the book was not published at that time, and we managed through it. But I think it could have been a lot easier. I think I could have worked a little smarter and not harder, but we did what we did to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing is on my nightstand. I give it to all my clients. I use it as door prizes at open houses. It's a fabulous, fabulous book. But it really gives you some clarity on what is the one thing that really is the most important thing to you, and then how do you achieve that? And when you do that, nothing else matters and everything else falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I'd had that book 40 years ago.
Mm.
Michelle, speaking of one thing, and as many accolades as you received and as many people love working with you and just knowing you, what is your most significant accolade that you've acquired and why?
It's not an accolade. I haven't received it yet, but it's everyone that works with me, getting them to achieve their dream by understanding how to set the goal and it not be stressful, how it's fun and it's passionate. And there's no accolade in that yet, except to me personally, because it just makes my heart big to see the agents that I work with who were struggling or didn't get the concept, reach their dreams and achieve their goals and have referrals from their clients and really understand how this business works and what value they bring to the community and how to give back to the community. I'm so proud of the ladies and gentlemen that I work with and how they pay attention to that and focus on that and make their life work. One of the agents that's been with me for 5 or 6 years and is a dear, dear friend came to me one day. She'd been with me for about a year, and she said, I'm going to have to go get a real job. She had quit a part-time job as an executive assistant to a very prominent attorney and said, that was my running money, and I'm not making that money, and I'm going to have to go get a real job because, you know, my husband's a little frustrated that we have 3 daughters and I'm asking for money for manicures and pedicures because he's used to me having my quote-unquote running money. Hmm. And I looked at her and I said, you have a real job. You just need to come to the office 40 hours a week. Why would you go to work for someone else for $16 or $18 or $20 an hour to make their business run successfully and you won't get out of the pool and come do that for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And she, that was a year that she had made $52,000. And she looked at me and I gave her a book to read. And she came back and came to work and she made $190,000 that year.
Mm.
And her family has prospered and she's still reading books. And she now helps me mentor and train the other agents who are invited to join our team. So it's not an accolade, Tanya. It's just helping others achieve their dreams. It just warms my heart.
Mm.
And that's what makes you amazing.
I don't know. I have a couple of ex-husbands that might not agree with that, but that's okay.
You know, people don't – one thing I've been told is people don't leave their jobs. They leave their employers. Many people have not only stuck by you but have grown with you and your organization. As a business professional, a manager, a CEO of your own organization – knowing that there's many business people in the South Bay, talk a little bit about what it takes to grow an organization, not just real estate, but really grow an organization, a company, and manage the multiple personalities that you have on a regular basis.
Culture. Culture, collaboration, and a safe haven, especially with our business. And there are other businesses that are equally as competitive. I have a client who's in the software development business, and he competes for clients, you know, business every day with other people that do the same thing that he does. And it's highly, highly competitive. And we don't see it that way. I refuse to let anyone see this as a competition because we have to do the right thing. You know, we not only do the one thing, but we have to do the right thing. And the right thing sometimes is not working for a particular client and moving on to the next one. But it's also about knowing that you can speak up. And I compare that to my client that's in the software business who confided to me recently because we sold another one of his family's properties. And he said, I love that how your team collaborates and you can share and everybody feels comfortable opening up and nobody's going to steal their business. He said, even in my own office, I can't do that because there's other developers competing for the same client, even though they're in the same company that I am. And so I have to do everything in my own file and on my own desk, and I can't share with the people that I work with. We don't collaborate and because we're competing against each other, and we don't work that way in my team.
Mm.
We all work together. We all share files. We have a system for that. We fix each other's problems. Nothing is without a problem, but everything has a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about drama. We don't have the drama. We don't have anxiety. We every week review everybody's files and where are you at and what's the problem and how can we help. And we just get things fixed, but we love and we share and we trust each other. And my goal, too, is not to have them stay forever, because people are going to grow and develop and want to build their own teams, and I have to manage to that attrition. They're not going to be with me forever. I ask them to give me 2 or 3 years, but my goal for them, if their goal is to really develop their own wealth and their own business, I will get them there.
Mm-hmm.
But I ask them for 2 or 3 years with me because of the training and the support that we provide, and then they move on. The only thing I ask of them is when they're ready to do that, they stay with Keller Williams, because we have an amazing culture. We have an agent in our office. We have 300 agents in our office, and one of the agents in our office, his wife recently, they have a one-year-old baby, and she has breast cancer and had surgery and was going through chemo. And we all, within 10 days, came together, put together a casino night, and raised $13,000 for them, because he's not been able to work every day because he's managing the baby and his wife's health care.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the culture that really grows relationships and keeps people focused and knowing that they're working in a safe place.
Right. Wow. Just a technical note. Tanya, are you on speaker?
No, sir.
No? Oh, it just sounds a little full. Okay, just wondering. This is one of the things that we love to do, is to talk to a professional that has a sense of themselves and their business that makes people feel comfortable. Not only your clients, your sellers' agent primarily, but your the people that work with you feel comfortable. How can other agents, other realtors, how can they produce the same results that you have? I assume other realtors have pulled you aside and said, Michelle, how can we do what you do?
Well, it's not hard, but it's not easy. It's simple, right? It's all about honoring what's the right thing, and it's all about educating yourself, and it really is about your passion and your energy. I mean, we have a lot of practices on my team. There are good coaches available. You can hire them. You can call me. I'll help you. If you're not a fit for me, I can help you find someone that can get you there. But it's really about having a passion for the business. And knowing the business, because that's what your clients come to you for. It's not about going out and just finding clients that you can show a few houses to this weekend and get it sold or get a couple of listings. It really is about the integrity of the business and knowing what you're doing and knowing what's happening in the marketplace. And we work all over California, and I have, as Tanya said, teams in Dallas and Nashville and Newport Beach, and we're now going into El Segundo because our clients are driving us there.
Mm.
It's not necessarily because I want to be in that market, but I have clients there, and they're calling us. I have clients in China, I have clients in France, and they're calling us for help in other markets, and I can't just refer that out. I have to go actually interview an agent and find the right person for them that has the same standard of practice and the same integrity that we do and the same knowledge and passion and experience for the business. So can you do that in 6 months? Yes, you can. It doesn't take 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you need somebody who every day will ask you, what did you do today? What did you learn today?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about your market today? How many clients did you meet today? You need that structure. And that's where most people can't be their own boss.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be self-employed. They don't know how to do it. They're used to a structure from college or whatever their previous job was, and they don't know how to do that for themselves. So I invite anyone that needs that to call me. I will help you find a coach. Some are very affordable and some are very expensive, but you need someone that's gonna help you with the systems and help you understand how to build your business.
Right.
It's really easy if you love it.
Michelle, if there is someone that is listening and is trying to buy or sell a home right now and unsatisfied with their current representation, what would be their process in regards to retaining you or your team? Because something like this could really motivate someone to seek change because they want better results or faster results. So how does that process work in that regard?
As a buyer or a seller, and they're unhappy with
yes.
their agent, the first
yes.
first and foremost, we are keen believers in communication, right? And that's with every client that I have. If you don't like working with me and I don't like working with you, we're going to fire each other in 30 days, regardless what the contract says. It says in there we can leave each other in 30 days because I don't want to work for you and you may not want me to work for you. Not everybody's a fit. So if you're having a problem with an agent, my recommendation is you figure out what the problem is. If it's a lack of – you can always fire your agent. You have to go to their broker. You have to talk to the broker and want to cancel the contracts and cancel the listing and terminate. You need to have a really good, valid reason. So figure out what that is so that you can express that to the broker. But first, go to your agent and just say, you're not communicating with me enough. I want to hear from you 3 days a week. Or we're not having enough open houses. And there may be a reason, but it wasn't communicated to the client. We don't do a lot of open houses on our high-end homes because it can be a risk to our client, and they don't want the intrusion.
Hmm.
But if I don't communicate that to them from the get-go, they may be disappointed that I'm not holding their home open every weekend.
Hmm.
And there's a woman that has a house for sale on her own. She's a for sale by owner. We've been talking to her. She invited us to her open house last weekend in Newport Beach. We were there. And we were not being obtrusive. We were watching and observing and having her show us the house as she could, but she had people coming through, and we stood back and let her manage those potential buyers. But the things that she was showing them, she has four safes in the house,
mm-hmm.
and she was showing them the location of all of those safes. And I said to her after the people left, you don't know who those people are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have... I have a friend, a physician friend, who's not a client of mine, but a dear friend, and she's loyal to someone that's a patient of hers, and she had $45,000 worth of diamonds stolen out of her safe in the closet of her master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's accusing people of leaving the safe unlocked. She's accusing herself or her kids or her housekeeper, and I said, you know, there are people that just come through the house and case it for that purpose. Don't show anyone where your safes are.
That's
scary. After you sell the house, tell them, yes. After you sell the home, tell them, look what else you get. Here's the
right.
four safes, right?
Right.
We just sold a home to a very prominent executive moving here to our new Silicon Beach, a $2 million home. And part of the contingency was everything, all of our marketing materials had to come down off of the MLS and off of the internet, because he didn't want people seeing his home and being able to figure out how to break in,
mm-hmm.
right? And where the windows are and where the kids' bedrooms were. And I could honor that to some extent, that I could take it off the multiple listing service, but
right.
I don't know where else it goes once it's out on the internet.
Right.
I did that for my sellers. So we worked that out, and he was satisfied with that. But it's a risk that a lot of people don't think about, don't know about, and again, if you're unhappy with your agent because they're not doing something, then talk to them about that and try to resolve that first. But you can always go to the broker and terminate a contract. Nothing's permanent.
Now, Michelle, I have to ask, because we have just a minute left, and I just want to make sure that we talk about the market. What's going on in the real estate market? Give us 30 seconds.
Market's good. Market's healthy. We are seeing a change. It will soon not be a seller's market anymore. It will flatten out to where there's equal opportunity for everyone, and then we'll go back to buyer's market. There are more notices of default coming up, and not necessarily – this time they're not necessarily short sales because people do have equity in their homes, but those who were not foreclosed on in the first round and were able to get loan modifications, those loans are resetting. So they can't afford their loan payments. So
right.
they're going back into default. But this time it won't be a short sale. They will have a little bit of equity.
Right. And also, contact information. How can people get in touch with you or your team and pursue a relationship?
RealEstateProfessionalsInternational.com. My cell phone number is all over the internet. Just Google Michelle Brown, Keller Williams, South Bay.
Real Estate Professionals International.
.com.
www.michellebrown.com. Well, thank you so much, Michelle Brown, for joining us today.
Thanks, Joe. You too. Thank you.
And Tanya, thank you so much for joining me as a guest host. All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Joe.
We appreciate you. What a wonderful week it's been. Can't wait for Jackie to get back. We hope she had a fantastic time, but we love it when she's here. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. And don't miss the Lobster Festival this weekend in Redondo Beach at the Seaside Lagoon. If you can get tickets up early, do it. I think they stop selling them at 5 p.m. this evening, but if you can get tickets, get them. Bye now.